Good afternoon. Great looking group. So maybe the Lord will have a word for us, huh? I wanted Bracken to read that particular gospel lesson because this is towards the end of Jesus' life and his ministry on the earth. It was 6 days before the Passover, and of course his crucifixion was just a few days away then. And yet this isn't the first time we see Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, washing Jesus' feet with very costly spikenard oil and then wiping his feet with her hair. Now, there's a lot about that that I love. I mean, what an expression of affection and love and worship. And even though the disciples were criticizing her openly for doing what she did, she does it again a few days later in Mark chapter 14. And they criticize her again. The one in John 12, it's just Judas that says something. But in Mark 14, they all chime in and agree with Judas. And yet it doesn't seem to deter her at all. There's something about her that's not altered by what people think about her, what people say about her. Even significant people like the disciples. I mean, these were the apostles. And yet it didn't change her behavior at all. She openly loved Jesus. It says the fragrance filled the room. Her love for Christ, her worship filled the room, and without any concern about the approval of others and what they thought. Now, that's strange to me because she had spent, I don't know how many years, as a prostitute. Obviously, I don't think from a poor family. She was Martha's sister, Lazarus's brother. We know that the story is that Jesus stayed in that house often, so they weren't destitute people. They had a place to live. And why she became a prostitute, I don't know. But being scorned, being rejected, being pushed away, being talked about, being the subject of rumors and innuendos and all that kind of stuff had been a part of her life. And yet she here just doesn't care. But the thing that fascinates me about this story is if you remember when she has her first encounter with Jesus. Now, I don't know if she had ever seen him before. Obviously, her brother and sister had a relationship with him, and they must have been praying for her. Is that your phone, Bracken, going off by your microphone? That's okay. That's the loudest phone I've ever heard. could be something. Could be Jesus trying to get in touch with us. And I'm sure that they had prayed that she would talk to Jesus. Maybe they'd even said something to her that she would meet him, thinking he could help her. And when she did meet Jesus, Jesus was having dinner with a group of Pharisees. And yet at that very moment when she came in that room, she was desperate enough as an outcast to come into a room full of people that make you outcast. The Pharisees, and who put guilt on everybody, the religious ones. And yet she comes into that room and she stands behind him, encountering his great love for her, and she's weeping. And then she gets on her knees and gets the oil and wipes his feet with her tears and her hair and the oil. And they say things about her too, but she keeps going. She does it. And Jesus' explanation for that is that she who's forgiven much loves much. And then we know that from the next chapter that during that whole moment with Jesus, she was set free from 7 demons. So she was instantly, and just in the presence of Christ and his love for her, being set free, being healed, being made whole, and then just like pouring out her love and affection and gratitude towards him. Now, probably 2 years later, the story is happening in John chapter 12. And when I read that again this morning, and so kind of way I, what's a normal routine for me would be that I just hang out with the Lord, I pray, spend some time in scripture, do some stuff in the prayer time. There's no organization. I pray, I read, talk, he answers, I answer. It's better when he talks than when I talk. And I worship. Because I have worship music going on. And then somewhere at some point, I'll get into John just to see what God wants to say. And And when I noticed that, this was 2 years later, I thought, wow, that first love that she had that we see recorded in the last part of Luke 7, early on in his ministry, that 2 years later, it's still there. Like there was no waning. There was no roller coaster thing. She was walking in sustained first love. And we know that Revelation chapter 2 talks about that, talks about the church at Ephesus, that they had great theology. They wouldn't tolerate any kind of false doctrine. They were very busy about the things of the kingdom. But Jesus said, but you've lost your first love. And of course, first is not chronological. It's just first is like the kind of love when you fall in love for the first time, really fall in love, head over heels, crazy in love. And Jesus is saying it's a kind of love that can be sustained. And the Ephesians have lost that. And yet with Mary, it's there. And then a few days later, she's doing it again. And she seems to be, from what Jesus said in the Mark 14 passage, the only one who had figured out at this point that Jesus' love was so strong, he was about to go to the cross for them and for the whole world. She was preparing his body for burial. And then, of course, we've mentioned this many times in John 21, she's the first person, not Jesus' mother, not Peter, not John, the first person he revealed himself to in the resurrection. And so the question I asked the Lord, that is really cool. So we have this story of this person, Mary, who in John 12, as the years go on, her love for him is just as extravagant, didn't care what anybody thought, was not affected by other people's opinion. I mean, that's freedom. You know that? To be able to love Jesus that openly, that extravagantly? Think about that. She's on her hands and knees, pouring oil, very expensive oil, very excessive what she was doing, and then wiping his feet with her hair. I mean, it looks silly. It would be embarrassing for most of us, right? But when you walk in first love, you're in such union with Christ that you don't, that's not the deal. And so I was thinking, what was it about Mary that, what did she do? What was it? Because she was at his feet in Luke chapter 7. She's at his feet in John chapter 11 when she sees Jesus when Lazarus has died. She's at his feet in John chapter 12. She's at his feet in Mark 14. She's at his feet in when John 21, the resurrection. But here it is. This is the one that's stuck not long after the Luke original encounter. This was it. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. Not in a chair, but on the floor at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. And the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. Really, only one. Now, Jesus said that, because I'm going to say something in just a minute, so don't get offended. Jesus said it first. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I know a lot of people, I love it, a lot of people over the years have a real sorry, feel sorry for Martha, and they try to make it all look better for her. Bless her heart. And Martha did love Jesus. We know that she did. But Jesus said, she's chosen the only one that's the good part. Now, Jesus seems pretty impractical to me, right? Because things have to get done. And I've said this over the years, and every once in a while somebody will get upset at it. But it's only the Marthas that do. And Marthas love Jesus. But God wants them to hear something. God's looking for worshipers first, not workers. Doesn't God need workers? Yes, he does. But workers have to flow out of being a worshiper. Because if you don't, then you won't see your work as worship. And you'll get ticked off with other people when they don't do the same thing you do or don't appreciate what you've done or don't say how wonderful you are for doing it. And so you become a complainer and a criticizer. That ain't worshiping. You worship while you work. You worship while you work. But you have to start off as a worshiper. And so How did she sustain first love? At the feet of Jesus, beholding his face, hearing his voice. That place of set apart intimacy, undistracted beholding him, is where first love is nurtured and kept. It's not a coincidence that the Lord put these stories in the time sequence. That's what was fun, was just looking at the timeline. Luke chapter 7, first encounter, set free from demons, happened first. Later, towards the end of his life, a few days before the end of his life, she's at his feet again, three times. And she's doing twice the same thing she did 2 years earlier. How did that first love, what kind of thing nurtured that kind of passion and zeal and sustained total irreverence to what other people thought about her? Because all that mattered was him. Is that it was her habit to sit at his feet whenever she could, behold his face and hear his voice. Philippians 1 says, Paul prayed for them. He said that your love would grow more and more. I like that. He said it would grow much more and more in all knowledge. The word knowledge there is in all encounter, in all experience. First love is sustained. First love is nurtured. First love is kept by being with the lover of your soul and beholding his face and hearing his voice. And I've become, as I've gotten older, more convinced of that than ever before. Because if you don't do that, the first love will go away. Well, you won't love him. And because when you have first love, you will be the best workers in the world. But all your work will be an act of worship, and it won't matter what other people think or say or prove of. You won't have any complaints, and you won't ever be critical. Because it ain't about anything other than you and Jesus. You're just at his feet in the work that you're doing, loving him. But if you stop cultivating his presence in the secret place, you'll keep working, but it won't be worship. I mean, there's always the proof that it's not worship by the stuff that comes out of your heart. But the bottom line is, I wanted you to see today, is that how did she sustain that first love? Sitting at his feet, beholding his face, hearing his voice. Years ago, somebody asked me, what was my favorite thing to do on vacation? What was my favorite vacation thing? And I like vacations, they're fun. But my favorite recreation is to sit at his feet, behold his face, and hear his voice. Nothing's more fun than that. It's like the best vacation in the world. And I don't have to go off anywhere and spend a lot of money to do that. Because when I do go off and do those kind of things, which is fun, I'm not into it very long before I'm missing my routine of sitting at his feet, beholding his face, and hearing his voice. Because that causes the recreation on the inside to stay alive. The first love thing, okay? Well, Jesus loves all of us so much. You know that? Mm-hmm. And isn't it amazing to us that he would say, the one thing I want from you is for me to be the one thing to you. And I just want your attention. I just want you to be with me. I want to commune with you. That's amazing to me, you know? Oh, his name is Emmanuel, isn't it? God came so he could be with us. All righty.